We arrive here today to debate at social distances from each other.
There's no doubt that the old politics of the two-party system is now gone and over.
An equal partnership, there would have to be a parity of esteem, and we'd have to work in partnership together.
We're very reluctant to say what's red lines, but we do have to take climate seriously.
There's going to be constant criticism, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and whoever goes into government is going to be unpopular.
Okay. Hello, I'm Maggie Doyle, and you're very welcome to the Your Politics podcast with
party leader, it's Labour's Alan Kelly, Tipperary TD. Thank you very much indeed for coming in to join us this Thursday. I'm sure you are. An interesting year it's been, Alan. We'll talk about the year that's been, I suppose, in a short while. But from Shannon to Europe to the Dáil, you were minister for 2 years. You're now leader of the party. What's it been like being leader of the party for the last few months?
Yeah, it's been great.
I get to stand back a little bit from the microphone.
It's been a bit different, I suppose. You know, becoming leader of the party obviously is something that I wanted to do for some period of time. But you know, no one ever prepares you for anything like this in the pandemic. You know, getting around to meet people, being out and about, talking to members has been, you know, very difficult. But I have to say, within the parliamentary party, it's the most united, collegiate group I have been in since 2007.
And you've done that as leader, have you?
No. I think everybody has done that. No, I think in fairness, you know, we've four new senators and Duncan Smith's a new TD. The rest of us were all, the other five of us actually were all ministers previously. But I think the Labour Party got to a point whereby we've just collectively as a parliamentary party said, you know what, we're going to do things in a certain direction. I think you will note that we raise an awful lot of genuine issues. We push our agenda very strongly, and we get a lot of coverage for doing so. So the members are reacting very well to that, and we've got quite a lot of new members. We've a lot of work to do. I have a huge amount of work to do, but I think it's important that during a pandemic like this, while we have to push our values and push what we do as a party, we also need to, you know, work with government, because there are some things that go beyond politics, and certainly where we are as a country now is certainly up there with it.
You went from 37 TDs in 2011 to 6 this year. You've all men in the Dáil. I know you've got four women senators. What's the gender balance like with the party, with the rest of the party, with the membership coming up?
Gender balance is quite good, actually, and then our councillors is actually quite good. But yeah, we need to get more TDs and senators elected as women. We have four women senators, which is great. They're all young, aspiring women who want to develop their political careers. But we definitely need to get more women elected, and we will. It's a big focus for us. We were pioneers in relation to gender quotas, along with an awful lot of the social agenda that the Labour Party transformed this country on, more so than any other party. But yes, we will, and we will be targeting making sure we get more women elected. You know, we look at our candidates all the time. We look at our organisation, our constituencies, and you know, we'll have a very good suite of new young females running for us in the upcoming election, whether it's a local or a general. I tend to think it'll probably be a general.
First, you say you have to work with government. What about working with other parties, though? Because, like, if we look across to, I suppose you'd call them cousins of yours, you have called them cousins of yours, the Soc Dems, the Social Democrats have, you know, far more women than
you
do. Well, in terms of TDs, certainly they do.
They don't have one senator, though.
No, but in the Dáil they do. And certainly young TDs, like you said. And I'm wondering about working with them, because that Sunday Business poll where the Fianna Fáil were particularly bad, down at 10% there just a couple of weeks ago, Labour at 3%, the Soc Dems were above you at 4%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would it not be proper and right now to maybe be trying to form some sort of an allegiance with them ahead of any next election?
Every TD I'd say who'd ever come in here would say the only poll that matters is a general election poll. I go against the grain on that. Party leaders should worry about polls. Yeah, and you know, where we're at, sometimes we're ahead of the Soc Dems, sometimes we're behind them. It's not good enough, and we need to improve. But it's an unusual situation now where we are with COVID. But as regards Soc Dems, they're a separate party. and they have their own aspirations. And I totally respect that. They're some fabulous people. A lot of their members / councillors / TDs would have had associations or membership with the Labour Party down through the years. And, you know, into the future, something may happen. But you know what? They have to do their own thing. I respect the fact they're their own party. We cooperate an awful lot. We support an awful lot of the same things. I think we're probably a little bit more worker orientated than they are. And obviously, the social agenda changes. We have done more than nearly all other parties put together in relation to pushing those issues down through the years. So we're different from them in our history, in how we organise. We'd have an organisation across the whole country. And also, I suppose, we're very worker-orientated, very close associations with certain unions, etc. But certainly, you know, we're from an ideology point of view, we're very close to them. And you couldn't rule out something happening into the future. It's happened in the past with Democratic Left, DSP, etc. But at this moment in time, I think it's we'll paddle our own canoes.
Nothing happening at all in the background on that front?
No.
And just when you have a piece of legislation like you had this week, which got a lot of plaudits, but yet seemed to spark criticism about Labour's last time in government, and that seemed to still have a potency, how difficult is it to juggle that? You bring a piece of legislation forward that the government is looking to embrace, even if it's many months away, but yet what was done during your time in government highlighted by other members of the opposition in very forceful terms.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of laughed at that, to be honest with you, for, you know, it obviously really, you know, poked at certain people. The fact that we're bringing forward, which I think is a very necessary piece of legislation on sick pay, which NPHET recommended in August, public health advice to the government is to deal with sick pay. The government are refusing to deal with it. So they're not following public health advice. So when they go out and tell everybody to follow public health advice, they're actually being hypocritical because they're not adopting public health advice themselves. The head of the HSE asked for it as well. Now, those people who inside in the Dáil who supported us, Social Democrats without question, to be fair, and a number of independents. I think Marion Harkin's contribution, she did an analysis across Europe of sick pay, was excellent. But others, I mean, Sinn Féin are supporting it, but, you know, they threw in some comments. Like up in the north, you get £95. Like, you know, so I mean, they're in government in the north. It's total hypocrisy. And I noticed then that the rural independents, the Healy race, I'll tell you now, I mean, it's very clear, and I reminded them afterwards, it's very clear that they don't support workers from their contribution. And as regards the far left, I noted that Breed Smith and others made commentaries about this, been the whole thing attacking the Labour Party. They have never once, ever, ever brought in a progressive piece of legislation in their lives. They serve to be in opposition. They, as far as I'm concerned, in politics, they promote basically very little misery they thrive on. And that type of politics is what distinguishes us as a left party from all of them, because we actually will take responsibility.
But they'd really argue with that, Alan, wouldn't they? Because, I mean, you know, when I think about the different far left politicians, as you describe them, they have been getting up repeatedly to talk about the Debenhams workers, for example.
But they're not the only ones. I mean, I was on the pick line of Debenhams workers. All our members were. And we've spoken about them. We also have to speak about everything else as well. So, you know, we've obviously spread ourselves. We can't just be about one thing, but 100% support the Debenhams workers. But here's the difference. Like, we cost the budget every year. They don't. Like, we will go into government at the right when we feel we can make a contribution. They talk about workers' rights. The man sitting behind me at the time that she was speaking was Jed Nash. He brought in the Low Pay Commission. He brought in registered employment agreements. He changed workers' lives in this country in a positive way for all the future. We brought in a whole range of legislation in relation to what happens down in Tom Johnson House every week. So, I mean, like, you know, we are the party that represents the workers. They mightn't like it when we actually bring forward policies like that because they know it's true. Look down through history, and I still challenge it. When will they ever take responsibility? When will they ever put forward something that's realistic? It's all very well shouting from the sidelines when you know that you're never, ever, ever going to have to go into government.
Okay. I suppose Breed Smith would say she had that piece of legislation in relation to finite fuels and ending exploration and the like. That was something that did travel some distance, didn't it, in legislative terms?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're talking about impacts they're going to have for workers or a lot of the social agenda, I mean, look, the track record is there, our track record is there. If they get great glee by attacking us, let them off. We'll be proactive and we'll more or less ignore such a commentary because it's really a waste of time.
It was a curious comment from the Taoiseach yesterday as well when he said that Mary Lou MacDonald could learn how to ask questions and approach topics if she listened to how you do it. Is there any danger there you're losing your edge if you're being complimented by the Taoiseach on that front?
I don't think I lost my edge today with Eamon Ryan.
No, you were quite frustrated with
well,
Minister
I don't
Ryan.
See why. I mean, I the Taoiseach, you can ask the Taoiseach, but I think he's probably reflecting without putting words in his mouth is the fact that, you know, I ring him up, I make suggestions. I speak to Stephen Donnelly, or I used to when he was around, and I make suggestions. Inside the Dáil, I make suggestions. It's not all about, I don't believe in this politics of being in opposition for the, you know, just shouting and roaring like many of them do in Sinn Féin or on the far left. I think you have to propose your own solutions. We will put forward our own costed budget, for instance. Jed Nash is working on that at the moment with Eoghan Reardon and Duncan Smith. Like, we will put forward our own policies. We put forward sick pay because the CMO asked for it. That's one of the reasons we did it. But I think that's the reason why he distinguishes us from the rest. I see that as a positive thing. I don't see it as a negative thing. And as regards Eamon Ryan should not have come in and done leaders' questions today if he wasn't going to be prepared for
the topic. The Taoiseach wasn't available. The Taoiseach is at home. Yeah. So who else could have taken it?
No, but my point being is this. Obviously, he's the next in line. That's not the issue. The issue for me is very simple. They all knew the winter plan has been published this morning. At least know what's in it. I understand it's been with government for the last 3 weeks.
Well, his argument was that he had been in the Dáil taking questions already on his own portfolio for the previous couple of hours, so he wasn't able to attend the press briefing.
Well, you don't need to attend the press briefing.
Sorry, not the press.
You don't need to attend the press briefing to know what's in it. I've been in government. All of this is prepared in advance. He's known about this for weeks. Well, he could have known about it for weeks if he had to read up on it. Like, I just asked, why are they saying one figure of new beds when in reality it's a lower, way lower figure? And also, tell us where they're going. He gave me a bluster generic answer.
Well, he said, I suppose, that the health system needs to be able to be flexible, which is what he said it was at the beginning, and that it needs to be flexible now going into the winter. Was that not a good enough answer for you?
Well, I'd like to know, and the people of this country would like to know, the real issues that are going on down in UHL in Limerick in the Midwest, down in CUH, issues where wards have been closed down in Beaumont. Is there going to be a concentration to make sure we can deal with them quickly? That's what I was poking at. I wanted some form of an analysis done by him to tell us so I could share with the public. He was incapable of doing that.
Also poking, you want a change of health minister as well, according to the interview you did in the Sunday newspaper weekend. You'd like Simon Harris to come back. Was he that good?
No, Simon Harris is one of the worst health ministers I ever dealt with. He actually brought down the last government. But I have to say, when it came to COVID, he was a good communicator, far superior to the current minister, who literally goes to ground for long periods. And that's my whole point. It's not that I want to change a health minister. I was just comparing.
As we understand it, though, Stephen Donnelly is unwell. And that's
I have no issue with that. That's not what I meant. But I mean, even before this, he tends to not be around and not available for periods of time.
But sure, wouldn't it be great for you to be able to stand up in the Dáil if there is a change of health minister after, again, just like still in like, let's say if it happened and it would be within the first 100 days of the government, that'd be great for you as an opposition leader to be able to poke them again.
It actually wouldn't. I mean, like there's a difference here. I mean, I want to see the health minister being successful. I want the country, the public, to have the health minister's back. Right. And I don't feel they do. I feel there's a communications difficulty there. I feel there is a content difficulty. I think there's issues of capacity of relaying what the HSE and the department are messages they're trying to get out. And I think that's an issue. And I hope he improves. And I wish him the best. And we will support him where he's been positive, because we need a health minister that's going to really go through the following. We got COVID at the best time in this country for 6 months. We're now heading into worst, you know, 6 months. We've never done this before. So I want him to be successful. I will point out issues where I feel he's not doing well, but, you know, I've made suggestions to him in a range of issues. Some they haven't taken on board. And when they don't, obviously I'll criticise. But I want the government to be successful in COVID. That probably distinguishes the Labour Party. You know, we've got COVID, we've got Brexit. You know, this country is going through a difficult phase. We need the government to deliver. We will not do opposition for opposition's sake in the Labour Party.
Do you think influencers, social media influencers, could get the message out about COVID? That's something that's been mooted by the
I'd be far more concerned if Fine Gael TDs would say that, you know, people who are struggling could get their PUP payment for a bit longer than saying that influencers should be paid €20,000. I think we should ask everybody who has a following or a capacity to influence people to help us. But let me just say this. There's been an awful lot of concentration of young people. I don't think it's appropriate or fair. You see
people... But the initial numbers in this latest wave were certainly within that younger cohort of people.
Well, yeah, but also they're across all society now, across all geography, we're all heading in one direction. And you know what? There's maybe as much damage being done by 30, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds who are actually having house parties, whatever, having a few bottles of wine. But we can't see that. We can't measure that. But can't.
Would you be saying to them, would you take on the responsibility then of trying to influence those people in your own like cohort, let's say, in your own constituency?
Absolutely.
Saying, I do
that all the time. And so do many others. But I don't think we should pick on any one sector of society. And the two sectors which I concentrate an awful lot of time on is those with disabilities. I think they've really been the forgotten cohort of our society, especially with intellectual disabilities. And the second one, which I speak personally about because my parents are in their 80s, we've got to give hope to people. Those who are elderly, we've got to get them through the next 6 months. And I want the government, and I've said this, I want the government to do one thing. I want them to take this whole situation with COVID, take the bull by the horns, step up to the plate and speak to the Irish people in a way that hasn't been done since this government took place.
And to say what?
To say that we all need to actually, within our own streams of influence, change behaviour. And we need to work on it to get to Christmas. We need to ensure that there's a GAA championship. We need to give people a little bit of hope that their loved ones could potentially come home at Christmas. Take it in 2-3 month blocks and then at Christmas reassess and say, right, we need now to get to Patrick's Day.
And if the GAA championship was to happen behind closed doors completely, would you be happy with it?
Well, I think we have to give people some hope, and we have to give, and if they're small numbers, allow the elderly to be the ones who actually can go to it if they can. But I think we need a seismic moment where the Taoiseach, and by the way, I will support it from the opposition, the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, everyone else stands up and says, right, these, you know, I don't think we can continuously just lock down counties, go up and down, up and down, up and down. I think that wears people down and you lose the public confidence. We need everybody to refulfill their commitment now civically and actually say we're going to play our part in our small way. Let's get to Christmas. Let's have a championship. I just picked out as one thing, and let's have a Christmas where people potentially can come home. Like the range of things we need to do. We need to bring in faster
testing. But to say that then, you have to then say, for example, focus on young people who might spend a first term in university, for example, and they might be going to house parties together.
You have to focus in on all sectors of society. Yeah. I would not pit one worker against another worker or one age group against another age group. It's not the Labour Party way.
But
of doing
you've
things.
Just said that you'd only allow the older people into the GAA championships.
I didn't say that. What I said is we should allow a proportion, just purely because it gives them something during the winter months, when, let's be honest about it, a lot of the people, elderly cohort in society, they are the ones who are taking the most precautions. They don't get the most social outlets. So it would give them an opportunity. That's the only reason I'm saying that.
Okay. But Alan, before we go, I just want to talk a little bit more about what it's like, I suppose, being a politician and being a party leader during this very strange year. You know, the party, I suppose, started off at the beginning of the year losing a few seats, but then you became leader. Pandemic set in. You're up and down between Tipperary and Dublin. It's been, what has it been? Strange, tough, different?
Look, it's strange.
Up and down.
It's strange and different, but you know, we're in a better position than many other strata in society. So, you know, I'm not going to start complaining. You know, I have to manage, you know, my parents are elderly, I have young kids. My wife's a teacher. She teaches in a school where she does learning support, special needs, that sort of stuff. So you see the whole gambit. My constituency office, one of my staff works from home. Another goes into. So we've a different way of working now.
Have you missed sport?
Oh yeah, I'm a sports fanatic.
Yeah, because I saw on your Twitter bio. I mean, you couldn't have. Well, there's a few sports I suppose missing, but it's Portrow and Tip, GAA, Munster Rugby, Man United, A Madrid.
Atletico Madrid,
of course. Yeah, so a bit of everything there. So are you delighted now to be watching it again?
Yeah, I'm a sports fanatic. And yeah, I have a bit of a, Michal knows, I have a bit of a graph of Kerry in the football after tip because my wife's from Kerry, Mico the Wire neighbour down in Waterville. But yeah, I love sports. See, that's the reason I've mentioned the championship in the GAA quite a bit. And the reason I say that is because it gives people focus. They can have something to look forward to. And we need to give people something to look forward to. I know this is a small thing, right? But the then coming back with Ray Darcy for one night, it just is something different. Like, we need to give people something to look forward to get us through to Christmas. And then from Christmas until March, continuously have, you know, try and help and facilitate people. And that's so I certainly miss sport. I mean, sport's a big part of my life, it's a big part of my family's life. So having that coming back is I think, really important.
Craft beers. As well as on your...
Well, I brought in legislation, you see. I went to the White Gypsy Brewery in Templemore and he had a group of visitors and he couldn't sell them one beer. So basically, you go to a vineyard in Spain or Italy and you buy some wine afterwards. If you go to a craft brewer in Ireland, you couldn't actually buy a beer afterwards. You would go up to an off-license. That was insane. Mm. So I brought in a small piece of legislation to allow them to sell their own produce, not anything else. So I suppose I got educated through that.
And on the rebuilding the party... work, has that kind of, in the sense of visiting, being able to visit constituencies and get out to meetings and all that, has that been different and all the more challenging?
Yes, definitely. You know, I did visit a few constituencies, but I stopped that once figures started rising again. We have, for instance, new members coming up in Westmead and in Cork and in Limerick, and I can't visit them. I have to ring them. I have to do multiple Zooms. You know, from that point of view, and I'm very much a people's person, I like to get out amongst the people. I like to visit those who join the party. Someone joins the Labour Party, I actually ring them. Party leader rings them in most cases. So that has been difficult. And I, being honest with you, that's my one issue, I suppose, with polls is that it's very difficult to mobilise politically outside of the arena of Leinster House at the moment. And that is a negative for the Labour Party at the moment because we are a party that campaigns, we're a party that's very sociable, we get out amongst the public, good or bad, take whatever they're saying to us, but we can't do that now.
In that respect, hard to see a general election then, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
Until this is all over.
Well, maybe not all over, but it's hard to see it at the moment. But, you know, I think we also need to be careful about the bubble of Leinster House, which there is. We also need to be careful about the bubble of social media. Because it's not always truly reflective of where we're at. So I've learned those lessons. But as regards the general election, at this moment in time, it's impossible. If things improve, maybe towards the middle or end of next year, I certainly think that it's a potential, particularly for Fine Gael, if they so choose, they may look towards it.
Okay. Alan, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
we'll
anytime.
Let you go. Get on the road to Tipperary. Alan Kelly, Tipperary TD and Labour Party leader, thank you for joining us on the Your Politics podcast. We'll kindly ask you to leave the studio now.
Appreciate it.
And we'll talk about you when you've left. We wouldn't do anything like that at all. Micheál, other items, I suppose, for discussion are really like, we are in the midst or on the edge, certainly, of a second wave of COVID-19 and the virus. And it seems that with the winter plan, and the government levels introduced last week, that they're really trying to get a hold of it, aren't they?
Yeah, and that there is that sense that you're only probably a few weeks off, probably a major, major intervention. Does something happen in the next few days or early next week in relation to other counties? At the same time, you hear messages from the Taoiseach yesterday talking about that priority to keep as many businesses open as possible and the fact that you have pubs around the country that are just open since Monday. How urgent will it be? Will it be imperative that government moves within the next 24 hours? Or will there be a sense that it'll be all about communication and trying to tell people that they're 10 days off something major happening?
Paul Cunningham has joined us in the studio now, taking Alan Kelly's seat.
I agree with Micheál on the overall trajectory that the image which is being pushed out by government and trying to get people to buy into is that this is the last chance saloon and that the figures are going the wrong way. It's happening in multiple counties. And then you might be looking at a much more substantial, wider approach than sort of going county by county.
There does seem to be a general political consensus, despite what Alan Kelly was saying there. There does seem to be general support for the levels, let's say, that were brought in, even though there, you know, there is some with the detail of the financial supports that are or are not being given to certain areas of society. But in general, it seems that political parties are supportive of trying to suppress this second wave.
Yeah, even though I thought the Dáil was more combative this week compared to other weeks. And that sense of unity that was absolutely there seems to be fading somewhat, and that illustrated in the clearest terms in the spat between Mary Lou MacDonald and
Is that partly to do with them wanting to put their flag in the ground and say this is the only way we can be seen and heard by the wider public if Sinn Féin are to say, look, we'll argue the toss about a specific area rather than come out and look as though we're really supporting the government?
Well, I suppose people are beginning to hurt now, because the first payments, reduced payments, went into bank accounts this week, and people are beginning to feel the impact. So it gets really difficult from here, as well as getting really difficult. There is the clear evidence that it's going to be a very long road. So as a result of that, I suppose the opposition have to highlight that. It's just the way in which it was done. And it was done in a way that would suggest finding kind of widespread political agreement, which was there in March and even up into the summer. That's going to be really challenging. Roisin Shortall talking about the need for some other forum away from the Dáil, where you can try and reach something like political consensus on the next steps. Taoiseach saying he was interested in that, but it's hard to know.
I just don't see it. I mean, I think one thing that is important to say, that this isn't just some form of Punch and Judy business. I mean, this really is coming down to policy, and big policy. So whether it is the cutting the PUP payments, whether it's about mortgage holders getting the payment breaks extended, I mean, this is really, really big stuff. And so I don't think it's that much of a surprise that consensus isn't the order of the day, that it is far more combative. I think what stood out for me, at least, over the past couple of days, was that it was quite personalised. And, you know, in the Dáil, you know, one is not allowed to use the word liar. But let's put it this way, you went about as close to using the word liar yesterday as it was possible. So it just gives you a sense of there's needle there as well.
And from the government's point of view, I mean, it is going to be challenging. It's challenging on so many fronts. But you feel that if they are going to get through this, and if they are going to communicate, they will have to be able to withstand the pressures of the Dáil chamber. And in some ways, the Taoiseach yesterday perhaps should have expected what was going to come his way there. His reaction was heated, and it did spark a major spat. Yeah.
Well, was Alan Kelly right? Were his problems with Eamon Ryan not being able to answer certain questions today, were they well founded? Or, I mean, should Minister Ryan have been more informed about the details of the winter plan?
I think going into leaders' questions, people typically would be very unusual anyway, wouldn't it, for someone to have been in the chamber for the guts of 2 hours before leaders' questions, because that's when.
So it's more of a personnel thing. The lack of people around, I suppose, maybe to take over from him.
Maybe, yeah. It was going to be the main question of the day, and it was strange that the person leading for the government in the chamber didn't have a load of detail and facts in relation to that plan.
What other business have we got going on?
Just one thing, going back to the Alan Kelly interview, where he was talking about, and rightly so, about Labour taking the lead on many social issues, and he was giving a kick to the hard left. I mean, this is the week that Gina Kenny made some progress in relation to the
dying with dignity.
Mm-hmm. That is due to come back before the Dáil for a 75-minute debate on Thursday. So, you know, parties like People Before Profit would point to that and say, well, on social issues, they too are making some advance.
And a much smaller party as well, of course.
Labour somewhere will be mindful of the fact that Fine Gael had a social media campaign recently talking about all the social change that they shepherded into the country, and Labour pointing out that they had been responsible for a lot of that. There is a sense in the sense of political capital and the like when it comes to it, that you perhaps mightn't be rewarded long term for social change, and that instead the focus has to be on economic things like workers' rights. That seems to be somewhere in the thinking.
It's also interesting, sorry, I know you want to press on, Maggie, but just on one issue, from the number of people I spoke to attended the Fine Gael parliamentary party digitally, of course, was that when that issue of assisted suicide or assisted dying, whichever term you would prefer using, that it wasn't heated. People thought it was a serious issue. They felt it was a serious topic which needed to be discussed. But within the party, there wasn't the rancour which has characterised so much of those social issues before. So maybe people are better able to talk about tough issues.
Yeah, and there is talk about the bigger parties having a free vote on it.
Yeah, I mean, Fianna Fáil have had a sort of a conscience vote for a number of years.
Things have changed in relation to the abortion legislation, the legislation that preceded that led to Lucinda Creighton and others having to leave Fine Gael at that point. That seemed to be the point at which the political system decided here that the whip can't apply to these kind of
issues. And Leibhar Kerr's summed up in the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meeting last night to say that it was clear that the consensus in the room was twofold. One was that it should be a free vote, and two, it should go to an all-Oireachtas committee. That would be unusual. It wouldn't necessarily be what you expected even in 2020.
So we continue waiting to hear what living with COVID, I suppose, in a long-term way will mean for the country. The winter plan, of course, is the big news today. But as Paul was saying, there'll be more coming out, no doubt, from the cabinet meeting. So stay tuned to everything with RTE News. But for now, from us, from myself, Micheál Lehane and Paul Cunningham from our political staff, thank you very much for tuning into the Your Politics podcast this afternoon.